I like it.
I love it.
Sad.
Angry.
Share it. Retweet it.
My feed.
Social media feeds are a portal to the world, but they're also highly personalised spaces. That's why we take you on a guided tour of someone else's feed each Friday night. In the hot seat today, Elise Portaka. She's a producer for The Feed on SBS, and she's our guest. Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. You've been working on a piece for The Feed on SBS about MDMA labs in Holland. And one of the things you came across in your research was a YouTube channel called Drugs Lab.
Oh, my goodness. I love this. I'm addicted to this channel at the moment. It's basically a program. So there's sort of 10 to 15 minute episodes. I think there's a bunch of them up there. They've been doing it for a few years. And it's a program that's sponsored by the Dutch government and one of their national broadcasters. And in each episode, one of the hosts tries out a different drug. So, you know, whether it's Coke or ecstasy or GHB or one of the other weird ones that I can't remember what their names are, you're basically seeing one of the young hosts taking an illegal drug on camera and their government is paying for it and supporting it.
So young people are being paid to take drugs.
Yes, it's crazy. It would be
it is actually crazy.
It would be like the ABC or SBS or the program I work on. It would be like our host taking drugs on camera.
The ABC barely gives me water to broadcast. This is incredible.
Yeah. And so it's kind of done in, you know, it's quite respectable, really. It's in the set is like a science lab and the person who's taking the drug has like a body that, you know, their temperature is being monitored, their heart rate's being monitored. And there's another person with them who's sort of talking about the risks of taking this drug, what's known about the drug. And the person who's taken the drug is kind of just doing what you do when you take that drug, which could be losing it totally or falling asleep or dancing or just, you know, talking at 100 miles an hour. But it's all in the name of sort of education and harm reduction. You know, let's put it out there, show people what the drug does, have a discussion and, you know, let the public decide whether they want to try this drug. And if they are going to use it, you know, tell them the safest way to do it. They talk a lot about pill testing or drug testing. So it's kind of got a serious purpose to it. It's not just total voyeurism, I guess. And they'll do things like the person who's taken the drug will do a follow-up the next day. So they'll talk about whether they're feeling, you know, having a bad come down, if they're feeling depressed, if the drug made them not be able to sleep. So they do have that stuff in there as well. But I did wonder, you know, it's interesting to think whether the show is encouraging people or discouraging people from using. I mean, are people going to use drugs anyway? So is it, you know, does it matter whether they have this show? Is it better to have the show and talk about safe use? And I guess we're having those discussions in Australia around things like pill testing.
We are.
So
now, your doco actually looks at the environmental costs of some of these party drugs and the way that Holland is dealing with that chemical waste. What have you discovered?
Oh, poor Holland. Yeah, Holland's not doing too well. Basically, when you take ecstasy, chances are that some of the MDMA in it has come from Holland. They produce 80% of synthetic drugs in the world, and it just means that these drug labs, you know, they kind of have, I imagine it as kind of like a Walter White Breaking Bad situation with these massive professional drug labs. But actually, I think they're more dingy. And, you know, we went into one that was like a kind of underground basement dive, looked disgusting. But, you know, when you make drugs, you make a lot of pollution, a lot of waste, a lot of toxic waste comes out of it. At each stage of making the drug, there's chemical waste that's left over. And the drug criminals in the Netherlands just basically go out into nature and dump the chemicals into, like, you know, the woods or into a river, pour it down drains. Sometimes they even intimidate farmers into mixing it with their fertilizer and then spreading it on their fields or mixing it in with like animal waste and kind of spreading it around. So it's kind of quite a nasty business.
Wow, that's incredible. All right, let's move on to another thing that you've been researching. How difficult was it to get on the dark web?
Oh, the dark web. I spent way too many hours trying to get onto the dark web.
Oh, all in the name of research. It's not like someone was paying you to take drugs, so it's okay.
No, but interestingly enough, when I was doing it, you know, I'm using the SBS internet, and the cybersecurity people here kept freaking out because every time I would try to get onto the dark web, they'd get this ping that someone in the building was doing something, you know, dodgy. So I had to keep reassuring them that I wasn't buying or selling drugs or something worse. But yeah, it's actually, you know, you have to download this Tor browser, and then once you get on, it's quite slow. It's like using an old modem. You know, you kind of click through and it takes like way too long for the stuff to open. At least with the drug, you know, there are these sort of drug marketplaces where people go to buy drugs and sell drugs. And the authorities have been cracking down on them. So now, you know, websites keep closing down. You've got to, like, a marketplace, a website that was up yesterday is gone tomorrow, and you have to contact some dodgy person on Reddit to get the new link because it's popped up somewhere else. And it's like, honestly, you know, you could click on something and then go away for an hour and then come back and it'd finally be open.
Are Australians using it?
Yes. So the sort of result of my research, my painful research, was that there are Australians buying drugs online through the dark web, and it's quite a thriving market, it seems. So I did eventually manage to talk to some of these dark web dealers, and they were saying, you know, the markup in Australia is so huge, it's totally worth their while to send drugs, usually through the post, to Australia. There's sort of a no refund policy, so the person shipping the pill from Holland, you don't know who that person is. It's all the kind of risk and responsibility is on the
person
who's bought the
pill. Quite a bit of risk, you think.
Yeah, one dark web dealer who, I mean, it's very hard to verify who these people are and how much, you know, whether what they're saying is actually truthful. But he or she told me that they are definitely making good money in Australia because of the markup. Australians have lots of money and are very willing to spend it on party drugs. We are a very big user of MDMA. We're one of the world's biggest consumers of ecstasy. So,
Elise, you've been such a good guest. Thanks for coming on.
No worries. Thanks so much for having me.
Elise Pataka is a producer for The Feed on SBS, and this is RN Drive.